Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
Would you please stand with me at this time, you as well as the choir? If you're visiting First Baptist for the very first time, we want to extend a holiday greeting to you. We're in a spirit of thanksgiving and fellowship. And if you're some old members here, some faithful members, I want to call attention to you as well. Folks, right now we have two worship guides for you today, okay? So I want you to go ahead and pull it out and look at this right now. One is a memento for you to take home with you. It commemorates the 60th anniversary of this church. We'll be speaking about that throughout the service. But my name is Dallas Smith, and I'm privileged to be the pastor now. I have many wonderful people in this church, many wonderful pastors. But this one right here, again, isn't that beautiful, by the way? Make sure you thank our secretary for putting that together. It's just some of the history of the church, as well as some of the exciting things God is doing here at First Fairlee. This is for you to enjoy later. This one right here is your bulletin guide for this week, a little different than what we're used to. But I want to go ahead and call attention to the birthdays. Right now, we want to extend happy birthdays on the interior of your worship guide, your bulletin there, to Kira, Velma, Audrey, Jane, Virginia, and Daniel this week. Would you show your love for them? Now, one of these has a very special day today. Who on this side of the auditorium, who on this side over here has packed many pews with their family? Who is turning 90 years young today? Who would it be? Miss Velma Walton. Wave at us, Miss Velma. One more time. Show your love for her. Excellent, excellent. Folks, we're getting ready to have a wonderful time together. The old-time religion, the old-time faith in Jesus Christ. While Jeff comes forward this time, be leading us in a rousing song or give me the old-time religion. I want to go on record saying this. I thought I loved this church. I really did. I thought I couldn't love this church anymore until last Sunday. That Veterans Day service was remarkable. And I feasted on it all week. If you weren't here last Sunday, website, you can find recent services and just tag that one down as one of your favorites in the future. But here's the thing. When I was driving to Sunday school this morning, I heard it again. I stayed in the parking lot and listened to much of it. Choir, people asked me throughout the week, was that a tape video you all had of a professional choir or musicians there? No, these fine folks right here. That was amazing. So if you were here last week, I want you to show your love in one moment here, again, for everything we enjoy. But if you weren't here last week, please promise you'll go back on fbcfairlee.com and listen to that incredible time. Watch this, of loving God and loving country. I thought I loved God. That brought me into the presence of God. And I thought I loved my country and this church. You made me proud to be an American. You made me proud to be a member of First Baptist Fairlee. Show your love for them one more time. Thank you. All right, here we go. You got your happy clappies out. Get happy feet. Jeff will be leading us in a rousing song of the old-time religion while we go around and greet two or three people in the name of Jesus Christ. Glad you're here today. Welcome, welcome.
Decade following the Second World War, a small group of people with a mutual desire for growing their faith and emphasizing missions was led to begin fellowship and worship in their homes. Their efforts resulted in First Baptist Church Fairley, West Virginia, being organized in the year 1959 with 22 members. The mission was sponsored by the White Sulphur Springs Baptist Church under the auspices of the Southern Baptist Convention. The first service was held on November 15, 1959. The church was constituted September 11, 1960, with a membership of 38 and a Sunday school enrollment of 74. Land was purchased in 1961, and plans were made to erect a church building. The first prayer service was held in the new building on May 16, 1962. The sanctuary was completed in 1976, and an education fellowship hall was completed in 1979. The present sanctuary, which was completed in 1987, was built on the front of the existing sanctuary, which was remodeled for church offices and classrooms. The annex building was purchased in 2001, and the fellowship wing was remodeled in 2002. The renovations of the annex were completed and the church offices moved in June 2004. In 2006, First Baptist Church received several very generous donations, providing the funds needed to break ground on a family activity center connected to the adjacent annex building. Today, First Baptist continues to serve as a guiding light to this community and beyond by remaining faithful to God's word and divine purpose for His church.
Thank you, Eric. Wow, 60 years of celebrating Jesus Christ, glorifying God, and growing believers here at First Baptist Fairlea. What a privilege. Friends, with the time remaining, I invite you to quickly open your Bible with me to our study text for today, where we've been for the past few weeks, is 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. We'll use this as a launching pad into other scriptures today, which will be supporting our text of how God will continue to bless this church and any church that glorifies Him and grows believers. How's that possible? Well, if you notice inside of your worship guide there in your bulletin, we have printed for you a simple autumn Thanksgiving sermon series outline. As taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, this model church we find in verse number 7 of chapter 1, this the Apostle Paul speaking on behalf of the Holy Spirit of God saying, "You were model examples to all that believed in Macedonia and Achaia, and the word of God sounded from you." Friends, I submit to you here at First Baptist Fairlea and all those listening by radio how the word of God must be shared. That's one of the things we'll be talking about today. If we want to continue to be blessed as individuals, as a church, as a country, one nation under God, we must do things God's way. Can I get an amen? Not our way, not man's way, but God's way. In our sermon series, we have learned 7 different things, how God will, based on His holy word, how God will bless His church if His Son, look at number 1, if His Son is exalted. Who is that? That's none other than Jesus Christ. Can you find that in the scripture? Sure, in verse number 1 of this same chapter, 1 Thessalonians 1, Paul said, "Listen, I'm Paul. I have a couple of guys with me, Silas and Timothy. We're not really that important. Give glory to God the Father and who? The Lord Jesus Christ." We've learned in week number 1 that God will bless a church that doesn't rob Him of His glory. It's not about a preacher, not about a parishioner. Who's it about, class? Jesus. Everyone say Jesus. Jesus. Miss Hatcher, that hasn't changed here in 60 years. And it's not going to change long. We have breath in our body. God wants to bless a church, watch this, who will exalt the Savior, Jesus Christ. The second thing we learned in week number 2, quick review, in case you haven't been here. Not only will the Savior be exalted, but the Spirit will be experienced. Who's the Spirit? The Holy Spirit of God. You find this here all throughout this holy book. How the joy, look in verse number 6, how the joy of the Holy Ghost came over them. I love coming to church. Goodness. Capital Planning has installed some new doors in the front. We've had some door issues. It may be more in the future, but these are glass doors. And Julian Meadows says, we want to put glass doors out there. Why? To let the world know we're happy in Jesus. There's something exciting in that church. Yes, the joy of Jesus, the joy of the Holy Spirit. And the third one down here, God will bless the church if we explain what salvation is all about. There's a problem in the world today. It started more than 6,000 years ago. Man sinned against God. Man rebelled against God. And Brother Schaefer, you and I have talked about this. You have your children here in the church. We want to make sure we tell boys and girls there's a remedy to our problem. Look at your notes again. It's Jesus who came to pay the ransom, the penalty for the sin of mankind. So folks, this is not complicated. God has and will bless the church if we exalt His Son, if we experience His Spirit, if we explain salvation, and then down for today, where the Scriptures, if we explain the Bible, that's why we always use our Bible. What's the five words I always, always, always open a sermon with? Open your Bibles with me. Folks, there's enough professors, religious charlatans out there, pontificating what God has to say. No! Here's what God said. Can we just keep it simple? It's Jesus Christ, Him crucified, redeemed, coming again, and how this love letter was given to us. What's this? In chapter 2, verse number 5, Paul said, we didn't use flattering words. We didn't use our flattering words. Chapter 2 of the same book, 1 Thessalonians, we use words anointed by God, just like you did, we discovered in chapter 1, verse number 8, how the word of the Lord was shared through you and by you and for Him. You see that? There's no reason to rewrite the script. Of course not. So if we really want to experience the Spirit, if we really want to exalt the Savior, if we really want people to understand, explain salvation, you have to use the Holy Book. Another look at the Holy Book. Listen, this is a hymn book. You mean the Jewish hymnal? That's the book of Psalms, right? H-Y-M-N. It's a Jewish hymn book. Yes, but it's also a book about Him. H-I-M. Jesus Christ. This is His book. It's a hymn book all about Jesus Christ. It's a history book. Where are my history buffs? Raise your hand right now. You had to enjoy what we just celebrated here. 60 years of memories, starting off in an auto parts, having a vision, trusting God to bring about the land, a handful of people assembled together for the sole purpose of evangelizing this world through Jesus Christ and His holy word. So this is more than just a hymn book to be sung. It's a hymn, H-I-M book, to be lived. And it's also a history book telling what is history, H-I-S-T-O-R-Y, telling His story. Do you get it? Don't you get excited about the Holy Word of God? Yes, this is His book. Turn with me quickly, please, to 2 Timothy. Just turn to the right. 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is the same Apostle Paul who encouraged, who exhorted, who lifted up that early church of being a model example that we can still borrow from today, the principles of being a blessing and receiving a blessing. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Here's the Apostle Paul about to die. He's on his deathbed. God gave him the privilege of speaking one last time, and I want to call attention to what should have been his epitaph on his gravestone. Chapter 4, verse number 6. You've read it, but let me share it again from the Word of God. We're talking about we want to explain and examine the Scriptures. Paul said, I am now ready to die, to be offered to God. My time of departure is at hand, and I fought an honorable fight, a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And he said, there's laid up for me in heaven crowns of righteousness and more. But there's also a judge there that's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Here's Paul on his deathbed exhorting young Timothy. But let's back up a little bit. What did he have to say prior to this? Go with me to chapter 3. Look across your page. Chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. As Paul's about to die, he said, let the record show that the Bible, all Scripture, is God-breathed, The pneumos of God is given by inspiration of God. And it said it is profitable. You can teach it for judgment, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness. Why do we have the Bible? Verse number 17 will answer that for us. Why? Because a man of God can be made complete, perfect, thoroughly furnished, equipped unto all good work. Why is this so important? That we exalt the Savior. That we examine the Scriptures. Look in verse number 1 of chapter 4. He said, because there's going to come a time God's going to be judging the living and the dead. And verse number 2, so preach the word, not a newspaper, not a book of poetry, not a magazine. Preach the word of God. This is the power, wonder-working power. In the blood of Jesus, we can use a magazine. We can use a book of poetry. We can use an article out of the newspaper. We don't preach that. We don't teach that. This is why we have assembled. Here's where the power is. And he said, pay attention. You should be sharing the word of God in verse number 2 because in verse number 3, this I'll be underlined. Folks, you and I are experiencing this today. Verse number 3, for the time will come when they. Who do you think they is? Don't point. Who do you think they is? The people around Paul during his time, that dispensation as well as today, from the pews to the pulpit, they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And look in verse number 4. What an indictment. Here's why you and I must use the Bible. In this generation we're living now, just like back then, they're going to turn away their ears from the truth. Everyone say truth. The Bible. They're going to turn their ears, close their ears to the truth, and then turn to fables. Just stories. No. Folks, God is telling us from the early church, I expect you to use my word. This is why I gave it to you. Some 40 writers of a 1,500-year period, there should be no confusion. He says as in many places, I am not the author of confusion. I want you to rightly divide the word of truth. And in doing so, the second thing we'll learn down here in closing, that you'll be exhorting one another. You'll be exhorting the saints. What do you mean by this? Well, you took time to look back here earlier in 1 Thessalonians. You'll see later at your convenience, time is pressing. The Apostle Paul said we should encourage one another. We should lift one another up, not tear one another down. One of the things I love about this church, and I can make a long list, it's not a gossiping church, a backbiting church. People pray for one another. People lift one another up to the Lord. That's so rare today. As I travel around America, especially in West Virginia, Virginia, North Carolina, folks, you're blessed to be a part of First Baptist Fairleigh. I'm just telling you the truth. It's not my church. It's not your church. We acknowledge as a church of Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. We use His holy word and we exhort. We encourage one another. Is that biblical? Sure. Turn with me a little bit more to the right. Go to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews. Let me show you the one standalone verse here, and we'll finish soon. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, the Word of God says in verse 25, you need to assemble together and worship God in spirit and in truth by saying this, Hebrews 10, 25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as is habit forming, as some people do. We have made Sunday into fun day. We have taken a holy day and made it to a holiday. Sunday now, folks, you listen to the older generation 60 years ago in an auto parts, cleaning up so they can come together and worship. It wasn't a competition with the world. But on our watch, we're living out what the Apostle Paul said would take place. The day will come when Sunday, a holy day, becomes fun day. What? And don't anybody get mad, but you compete with it just like I do. And family and friends and sports and work and all this, it's just, there's no difference at the shopping malls or the car lots or the restaurants than it was yesterday or Friday. And Jesus said, there's something special about, look in verse 25, coming together. Don't fall into this habit of missing church. But watch this, exhorting one another. We just learned this here again. One of the principles, God will bless us if we exhort. It means to encourage, to lift up, not tear down. Paul says another place. He says in the book of Ephesians 4:29, let your speech build people up, not tear down. Look up this way. One of my favorite illustrations of this was a young boy who went through a rebellious period on a farm. And yes, it even happens on a farm. Sometimes people say, if I just lived on a farm someplace and just became recluse, then me and my family would get along so well and sin would never enter our domain and all we would do is just love Jesus and feed the sheep. Well, how many of you know growing on a farm, Satan still roams that farm. He's loose and running wild. Well, this boy was rebellious. And his manner of speech changed. He started back talking to his mother, to his father, to his siblings. And his dad said, boy, I'm going to meet you out in the woodshed. How many of you ever been to a woodshed? Raise your hand. Now we're talking about days of old. He took him out to the woodshed, and he just ready to square off against Pop. He said, son, he said, you're hurting your mama. You're hurting me. You're hurting your brothers and sisters. But more importantly, you're hurting your relationship with Almighty God. You claim to be a Christian. You are saved and baptized in our church. You're old enough to understand this. What you're doing is not building up. It's not exhorting. It's tearing down. So every time you do something wrong, I want you to go out to the barn and put a nail in the door of the barn. What? That's my punishment? Every time. So he did. They would call him out. Every time he was very sarcastic, spoke down to him, whatever it was, he'd have to go out in the middle of the night, put a nail in the barn door. After a while, the Holy Spirit of God started to convict him. That's not your father being rude. That's your father teaching you a lesson. Just like my son, Jesus Christ, wants to exhort you, not tear you down, but lift you up. He came to seek and save. He came to redeem you of your speech, of your mannerisms. So after a couple of weeks of this, putting all these nails in the barn door, he went back and he said, Pop, I've been thinking. Oh, you have? Pop, he said, I'm going to do better. I'm going to try to clean up my speech. How many of you ever had a cuss jar in your home? This sidebar to my story. How many of you ever had a cuss jar in your home? If somebody says something ugly, a curse word, you put a jar in it. My dad used to say, we cuss so much in our family, we can go to Disney on this money. Amen? But I think they made the rent payments what it was. But that's just the way we were raised. Shameful. We didn't know the Lord. But he said, Dad, I'm really sorry. He said, I want you to tell your mom and your siblings at dinner tonight. And he did. He said, I'm going to do better. And the dad said, I got another announcement to make. He threw the claw hammer up there. He said, son, every time you say something good, something edifying, something that builds up, I want you to go out there and pull one of those nails out. Well, the boy is so excited. He thanked his mom for the dinner. She said, thank you. Go pull out a nail. What? He ran out the door, pulled a nail out. There for the next few days, he was excited. Every time he just showered people with compliments, he'd run there and pull another nail out. When he pulled out the last nail, his daddy was standing behind the door. He looks and said, Pop, look at that. I pulled out all them nails. He said, yes, son, but look at the door. It's damaged. The remnant is there. What a lesson for all of us. What we say can't be taken back. He said, Dad, can't we fix it? He said, no, son. We can patch those holes. We can gloss over it. We can sand it down. Those holes will always be there. God gave you good speech, son. God gave you a voice to edify him and others. Folks, look at your hand as we finish here today. God wants to bless this church that doesn't bicker and fight. Paul said, fight the good fight. Not every little silly fight that comes down the lane. No. The good fight. By examining the Scriptures, saturating yourself in the Word of God, by exhorting the saints. That means one another down here. Yes. I rarely do this, and I don't want to embarrass anyone. But we had a teenager, one of our most faithful teenagers in our youth department, on her birthday this Wednesday night, turned 18 years old. Think about where you were when you turned 18. 18 years old. And she showed up Wednesday night to work with the boys and girls in Awana. Blew my mind. It takes a lot to surprise me, but I thought, dear God, that's one of our teenagers teaching her pastor how to love Jesus, made a sacrifice. I'm not putting her on a pedestal. I'm just saying thank you for doing that. We got together, we had cake and ice cream, all the 20-some teenagers she's working with and younger children saying happy birthday, we went on. I was so proud of her because she lifted people up even on her birthday. Dear God, we're so selfish today. It's not about us. Who's it about? Jesus and Him being exalted. Folks, I'm going to be giving you an opportunity to exalt others through this right here. I'm inviting all of our teachers, deacons, leaders, and writers in the church to participate in a Christmas Advent blessing. I found out, much to my surprise, we have almost 200 church Facebook friends. 200. Many days they open that. Many of them, like Miss Hatcher, can't be here. And others, sick and shut in. They open up to see what's going on in their church that they love. And that's why we run around here and take pictures. Because I hear from the shut-ins. I can't be there, but thank you for allowing me to stay in tune with what's going on. So I'm going to invite you to write on the back page of this a Christmas devotion during Advent season. And Jennifer, I've already told your mom and dad, I'm calling you out. God has gifted you. One of your poems could be in here. And I'm looking at many others of you. I'm going to put these up here for your convenience on the way out. But friends, I'm inviting you to do this, and we'll be running it through our front office, how you can exhort one another, how you can encourage others by participating in this Christmas blessing. How's it going to work? Every day in Advent, as people fire up their Facebook page, is going to have a Bible verse and a Bible devotion from one of you. Isn't that exciting? Can't you just see the energy being caught, the synergy? 1 + 1 = 3. 1 + 1, you and Jesus multiplying yourselves to others. Why do we love this church for 60 years? Look at your handout. Because there's no competition. It's about exalting Jesus, experiencing His Spirit, explaining salvation. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, don't leave that way. God has a remedy, a Thanksgiving Christmas remedy known as Jesus. And God will continue to bless us if we use His old book, if we examine the Scriptures, and we encourage, exhort one another. Folks, we're halfway through God's recipe for blessing a church. Thank you for listening, but now it's your turn to be a blessing. Would you stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed? We go into the presence of God. 60 years of loving God, His holy word, and others. What a Thanksgiving celebration we can experience this year as we lift King Jesus up and be a blessing to others. Father, into Your presence we come, about to sing a song of response of Your amazing grace. Save those that need to be saved. Yes. And convict us to be like Your Son, Jesus Christ. We love You and pray this through Him, by Him, and for Him. And all of Your wonderful children said, amen. Remain standing. Charlie, lead us in this wonderful hymn.
If you need it.
Don't run off, Charlie. I'm going to point something out. People are already starting to think. I believe that song's quite long, and it's after 12 o'clock. Shoney's await, amen? We're talking about the grace of God. Folks, we're going to sing verses 3 and 4 and mean it. Join us in singing, shall we? I wish that preacher would shut up. Me too. Seriously, you ever get a song stuck in your head? Listen. You ever get a song stuck in your head? This is a great song to take home with us. Without the instruments, us and God, we're going to sing it the primitive Baptist way, perhaps like they did 60 years ago with no instruments. Look at this. Next verse, please. How long? Yes. Let's sing it, Charlie, a cappella.